Happy Sabbath.
What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord on this Sabbath day. Before I forget, next Sabbath after potluck, there is a continuation of our missing members of Roseburg Ministry that we are seeking to connect and reconnect with people on our membership list. Because we care about them and we miss them. We've been praying for them. So after potluck next Sabbath, we are meeting again as we continue in this journey. And also, something that is starting the 13th, that's like Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, tomorrow's the 12th. All right. Is Secrets Unsealed. They'll be putting on through the whole week a seminar focused on the Hebrew calendar, which has everything to do with the Jewish feast. And I know that we live in a time in which it could be easy to have incorrect views of the feast. And so you can go to secretsunsealed.org and it'll be live streamed. It starts the 13th through the 18th. And so that is through Monday through Friday. With that being said, I've been so blessed by the week of prayer this past week. I mean, we were able to come here and to, you know, I'm just a little thirsty. This week we had some Jesus water, and it was good. Because it satisfied the longing of my soul, and I'm needing some more. How about you? In May, we will be having another week of prayer, so make plans the 13th to the 20th. That is the month of May. But we've come here to hear the word of the Lord. Let us bow our heads. Loving Father, we thank you because you love us more than what we can commence to understand. You've brought us here because you love us. And you love us so much that just, even though you accept us just the way we are, you love us so much that you won't leave us this way. So draw us unto you through your word and through your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in our scripture reading, John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave you what? Power. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. One of the things that I kept finding in this week of prayer that we did as people came in contact with Jesus is the recurring theme of that B word. Believe. Do you believe? And here the Bible says, but as many as received him, which means you might receive him or you may not receive him. What a blessing we have in store for us when we receive him today. And then the Bible continues to say, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In other words, if I do receive him according to the Bible, what does the Bible call me? A child of God. If I don't receive him, though he may have created me, though he does love me, but in regards to being a son or daughter of God, that's a different story. Even to them that believe on his name. Sunday night, we talked about, just like the children's story, about a woman who was trying to get some water and realized that she needed a different kind of water. Then the next night, we talked about a man who had been sick for 38 years, met Jesus, and he was no longer sick. He was able to walk. Then after that, we talked about a woman who was at the wrong place at the wrong time as she was caught in adultery. Then we talked about Lazarus and how he got sick, passed away, and the glory of God was revealed, and how God is pained when you and I suffer. And last night we talked about Mr. Know-it-all, Mr. Nicodemus, and how we must be born again. And so we're staying in the book of John. I said we would this whole week. Turn with me to the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to John. The Bible says, John chapter 9, verse 1, "And Jesus passed by." You think that was just 2,000 years ago. Jesus is passing by today. Jesus, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, is here. And he's wanting to do something in your life, not tomorrow, today. And the Bible says, he saw a man which was blind from when? His birth. So his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Because back in those days, they thought, well, if someone is suffering from a certain malady, well, that was because they must have done something wrong. And if it wasn't them, well, this guy, he was blind since his birth, so it must have been his parents. And so the disciples, did you get that? The disciples. Aren't we kind of like disciples? The disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You know, we live in a world that would like to have us think that bad things don't happen to good people. But they do. In fact, the story of Job was full of that. Dispelling that myth that, oh, all that I'm going through is because I'm the worst sinner in the world. No, that's not true. Jesus committed how many sins? Count them. Zip. Did Jesus suffer more than you and I will ever understand? Bad things do happen to good people. But Jesus says in verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Anybody going through some problems right now? Or is that just me? Maybe some sickness, some malady, some type of suffering. Here the Bible says that the works of God will be made manifest, not just in this person's life, but guess who else's life? Your life and mine. Get ready for the blessing. Get ready for when God does something that only he himself can do. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." We're counseled that now is the time to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And if we don't do it in the time of when it is light, in the time when there's no persecution, we will, with tears, have to do it. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." What I get excited about is that as we come to Jesus, and Jesus is the light, guess who else becomes the little lights? You become a little light. I become a little light. And we start shining for Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 6, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. He made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. So this guy is blind from when? His birth. So to add injury to insult, Jesus leaves no doubt in everybody's mind that this brother cannot see. Why? Because if he could see a little bit before, the mud on his eyes made sure that he could not see at all. And Jesus tells him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. The pool of Siloam was a good 500 yards away from where this event took place. For you golfers, that's like a solid 500-yard par 5. Or for you footballers, that's like 5 football stadiums. Could you imagine going through town with mud on your eyes? Because this blind man could have said, you know what? I'm not walking through town with mud on my eyes. Why am I going to do what this guy says? He goes, and you know, there could have been a little bit of rain recently, and there could have been a puddle of water. And he could have said, you know what? Let me go over here and wash over there. Or maybe somebody could have said, you know what? People are so mean these days. Could you believe somebody put mud on his eyes? I mean, come on, taking advantage of a poor blind guy. Come on. But no, this man received the command from Christ to go to a specific place and to do a specific thing. The Bible says, he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came what? Seeing. He had been blind for his whole life, and now he sees. We can have our closing prayer and go home now. Oh, no, there's more to the story? There sure is. In fact, if you're taking any notes, verses 1 through 7 records the miracle we just finished talking about. Verses 8 through 12, we find a conversation between this former blind man and the neighbors, his neighbors. And then in verses 13 to 17, we find the Pharisees and this former blind man. We see then verses 18 to 23, the parents and this ex-blind man. Verses 24 to 34, the Pharisees and the ex-blind man again. Verse 35 to 38, we see Jesus and this man. And last but not least, verses 39 to 40, we see Jesus and blind people. So let's get back to our story. The neighbors, therefore, you know, you gotta be careful. Because our neighbors know what we do. Last Sabbath after church, there was some flowers that were being given away after potluck. And so when we went home, we decided, you know what, let's go give some flowers to our neighbors. And so there was some new neighbors that moved into our neighborhood, and we said, you know, this is the perfect opportunity because we've been negligent in introducing ourselves. And so we go over and ring the doorbell, and the kids give the flowers. And the lady said, oh, yeah. I've seen your daughter jumping on the bed and dancing in her room. Our neighbors always know what we're doing. And then I was looking out in the backyard, and I saw that there is some water running on my neighbor's backyard. Our neighbors always know what we're doing. Good thing I'm not nosy. The neighbors, therefore, and they which were before him had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, well, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I don't know where he's at, but I know what he's done in my life. Because before I was blind, now I see. And what we're going to start seeing in this story is how the Holy Spirit starts working in this man's life to be an evangelist par excellence. The Bible says, moving on from the neighbors, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the what day? The Sabbath day. Jesus performed 7 miracles on the Sabbath day. Coincidence? Uh-uh. He did that purposefully for a couple reasons. One, Sabbath is the day of the Lord our God. It's not my day. That's September 13th. The Sabbath is the day of the Lord. But the second reason is this. If there was ever a day to be a source of healing and blessing to other people, it's the Sabbath day. We're here at church right now. What blessing are we going to be to somebody this day, whether they're part of the flock or not with the flock? That is the question. The Bible says, verse 14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God, referring to Jesus, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. There was a division because some believed that maybe, just maybe, Jesus was the Messiah. And some of them were decidedly had their minds up that there was no way he could be the Messiah. The Bible says, then say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said what? He is a... But you know what? That's not what he told the neighbors. He told the neighbors, some man named Jesus, he put mud on my eyes, told me to go to the pool of Siloam, go wash, I washed, I see. He comes to the Pharisees, he takes this a step further, and he says, I did all those things, but now he's just not another man. He's a prophet. The Bible says, but the Jews in verse 18 did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they had called the parents of him that had received his sight. Meet the parents. And they asked them, saying, is this your son whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Interesting. We want to be faithful to Jesus. We want to live according to the Word of God. And one of those things includes being faithful with the Sabbath, but not limited to that by any means. And guess where the first amount of friction comes from? La familia. The family. oh, they're some cult. Oh, those are strange people. Here the Bible says that these parents, they had gotten the memo that if they indeed confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, they were going to be put out of the what? The synagogue. What is it that makes you and I a son and daughter of God? Oh, that's right. We receive the Son of God. We receive the Messiah. We receive Christ Jesus, our Lord. So they recognize, you know what? The temperature is getting a little too hot in here. He's a big boy. He got himself in this mess. He's going to get himself out of this mess. It's his problem. He can deal with it. Have a nice day. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. Verse 24, the Bible says, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see. Before I was some drunk going to every bar, but now I'm sober. Before I had a whole bunch of strange plants in my backyard, and now I have the good plants. Before I would lose my temper and hit my family and abuse them. And now I treat my family with respect. Before, I had the mouth of a sailor. And now I say, God bless you. A change has happened in my life. Before, there was no way I could get out of bed because my depression just kept me there. But now I have found the power that not only gets me out of bed, but it makes me a light to all those around me. I once was blind, but now I see. And this is the change that Jesus is wanting to do in our lives. And you might be thinking, but Pastor, I've been in the church for many years now. Well, guess what? Jesus is passing by. And I could be tempted to think that the changing, the conversion in my life is limited to when I accepted Christ in my life and was baptized. No, 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 no. There are still things in my life that still don't look like Jesus. The Bible says, verse 26, then said they to him, again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? See, the first time he's asked by the neighbors, Jesus healed me. Second time with the Pharisees, he's a prophet. The Pharisees come back into the picture after talking with the parents. And now he says, he's not just a prophet, but do you want to follow this same Jesus? This blind man is getting pretty bold if you ask me. Verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. You may not know who Christ is, but I do. And this is the one who opened my eyes. I can see. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? This blind man then says, If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. In other words, the religious leaders, they weren't sure who Jesus was. But this blind man, he not only said Jesus is a prophet, but he takes it further. He says he is God. Powerful. Do you know who Jesus is? Verse 34. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and doth teach us? I mean, who do you think you are? I mean, we've gone through all the religious schools, and you think you're going to tell us something about religion? You can't even see. And they cast him out. This next verse is one of my favorite in all the scriptures. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. I don't know if they posted it on Facebook. I don't know how Jesus got the memo. But Jesus heard. Not only did he hear of what had happened to this man, he knows what you are going through. And my Bible tells me that even all of our tears are in a bottle in heaven. So if you've been doing a lot of crying lately, God knows. The Bible says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, where was the place that God found you? I know where he found me. And it's a good thing he did, because it was at the right time, because I sure needed him and still do. But if Jesus hasn't found us, yet, he can find us today. He said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And this was an interesting conversation because this blind man never got to see Jesus previous to this moment. I mean, he heard Jesus say, Go to the pool of Siloam, wash, have a nice day. But now he got to put two and two together. He got to put what that voice he heard together with the person. And he started putting these things together. He's like, I know this voice. This voice is like a voice I never heard before. This voice is the one who told me to go wash. This voice is the one who gave me new life. This voice changed my life. And his response was, in verse 37, and Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You see, your faith and my faith should lead us to do what this man just did, and that's worship. Nobody had to tell him what to do. He automatically fell down before Jesus and worshiped him. Why? Because he came to believe in who he was. Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. What a scene this must have been. On one side of the street, you have a man that all he can do is talk about how Jesus came into his life and changed his life. But yet on the other side of the street, you have people who supposedly have eyes that work and can see what the Bible says, but yet there's no Jesus there. It's just formality. There's no life-changing agent. And every morning we get the opportunity to meet this same Jesus. Jesus looks across and sees blind people. Not because their eyes didn't work, but they chose to do the one thing that this blind man didn't. They chose to doubt. They chose to reject the Christ. My Bible tells me, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Today is a day to receive Christ anew. Today is a day for just as that man's life was changing step by step by step to where he said, he healed me, he's a prophet, you want to be his disciples? Where the Holy Spirit starts emboldening us to be a light in this dark place. That change God is wanting to do in your life and in mine today. We're about to sing a song. But before we sing that song, the song is a proclamation where we say, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child. And forever I am. But there could be someone here who has yet to make that decision. Someone here who needs to say, Lord, I have not believed in you, and today I want you. Today I want to receive you into my heart yet again. Today I want you to change me into who you want me to be. Is that you? Is that me? If that is the case, stand. Because faith goes up. Faith moves forward. It is a time to leave the past behind. It is a time to tell others of the one who has changed our lives.